Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota House Ag Policy Committee. And the clerk will note the roll of who is present, excuse me, but we do have a new member. So we will just introduce the new member. We have Representative Clark Johnson, who has joined us on this committee and was just sworn in yesterday. So we'll all, he'll be indoctrinated into our hazing that we do here in the committee soon enough. But he will be able to witness that today when Representative Erickson gives his presentation. So welcome to the committee. And Representative Faust, would you be able to approve the minutes at this point?
I would move the minutes of the February 14, 2013 minutes.
Are there any additions or corrections? Otherwise, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay? The minutes are approved. All right, now we're ready to talk about House File 151. Welcome back, Representative Hansen. And you have an amendment.
Yes, Madam Chair, do we need to move the bill to get in front of us?
The bill has been moved prior, okay. But we can. But we have an amendment so that people know about that.
Madam Chair, I think you may have two copies of the same amendment. Colby was able to get the A1, so it actually has a number on it, and it's easy. So if someone could move the A1 amendment to get the bill in the shape that I as the author would like it to be in.
Representative Wagenius?
I'd like to move the A1 amendment.
Okay, so the A1 amendment is will be in the... Yeah. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, nay? Okay, so we have the bill as amended, and now to speak to the bill. And when we did do the original motion, it was to move it to the Environment Ag Finance Committee, and is that the same route that we're going to go? So, okay.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you for the amendment. The amendment is based on two things. One, listening to the debate over the last few days about support for the policy changes and to update the manuals, and we've had really good testimony from the University of Minnesota, and hearing recently from the Department of Ag that they can do this with existing funds. So the amendment has removed the increase in the fees, and what it does is it still has the five-year time period that the Department of Agriculture would be responsible for completing these tasks, and it has kind of a midpoint time where the department would be required to report back to the committees on their progress. So I think it gives a little accountability to check that they're doing the tasks that we've assigned them here and that they have the funds to do it. So with that, Madam Chair.
All right. Well, we do have the bill as amended. We're now then focusing on Section 3, and we have an addition with the report. Does anyone have any questions? Representative Petersburg.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Now, I understand the front page was amended. Does that still include then the half of a percent of taxing?
Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, all of those fees are removed.
Okay, then I'm wondering if there shouldn't be an amendment to include on page 2, page 2.2, and have that changed as well.
The amendment that we approved deletes sections 1 and 2. So we are actually, it goes down to line 4.7.
Madam Chair, thank you. I stand corrected. Thank you.
Sure. No, it's okay. It's good to just kind of get it clarified for everyone that that's how it's being done.
Good idea.
Yes, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to thank Representative Hansen for the amendment, and I will support the bill, and I want to thank him for making the change.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Thank you, Representative Hansen. We do have people who, from the department, if they care to testify. Otherwise, if there's no questions, we can move forward? Okay. So we have the bill as amended, and the original motion continues to be, and so I will move that the bill, House File 151, as amended, be re-referred to the Environment Ag Finance Committee. All those in Representative Faust?
My understanding is the amendment removes all of Section 2?
1 and 2, yes.
1 and 2. There's an awful lot in 2 that is being removed. Is that, or is it just 2 from page 1? Because we've got the $350 fee for each agriculture pesticide is included in Subdivision 3 of Section 2. And so there's
what currently,
or is it just the changes that are removed?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you very
yes.
much.
Yes. Just to familiarize people with the amendment, it is really removing what was going to be the new language.
Correct.
The language that currently exists will continue to exist.
Thank you very
much.
So
we're not eliminating that. We're just eliminating what he was proposing as new language.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. So, you know, previously, Representative Hamilton had asked for a roll call. He's not here. I'm not sure that that continues to be the case then.
I would say we have to do it now.
I don't know.
He's not here to ask a question.
We have to. So, so I think we're going to have to do that. Representative Falk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We could probably check the rules on this, but I think because this is a new committee hearing, you'd have to re-request it. We had it during the other meeting.
This is a new meeting.
Thank you, Representative Falk. I'm not clear on the...
Yeah.
Do we have an idea?
It might be... Madam Chair, it might be quicker just to take the roll call and then to find and look up the rules to.
We have. I just Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know the legalities of this, but I don't and I don't want to speak for Representative Hamilton, but with the amendment, I don't feel there's a need for a roll call anymore. But again, I don't know about the legality of it.
I think we will maybe use Representative Falk's suggestion that since that was as a part of a previous and now we've amended it, that we are going to not do the roll call. We're going to do a voice vote and move on from there. Okay? So, the bill, House File 151, as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. The motion is approved. Your bill has passed, and it's going to the next committee.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Hansen, for coming back and taking care of this. We appreciate it.
And, Madam Chair, I'd be happy if anybody else wants to co-author the bill.
Thank you. Sure, we'll maybe have some people that will be doing that. So we have, this was the only bill that we actually had on our agenda. So, Representative Erickson, are you ready?
You got a whole hour.
Is this the last thing on the agenda?
Yes, it is.
I will be brief then.
All right. Well,
because I'm sure I share the sentiment that an extra half an hour, 40 minutes in our office would be time well spent.
Well, Representative Erickson, we are pleased that you are willing to provide the presentation at this point.
I made 20 copies. I hope
that's enough. And Arlen can help you with the distribution there. If you,
I'm a
oh, he's a teacher.
I'm a retired teacher. I'm used to handing out paper. It's
long as it is a recycled list.
Yes. Oh, yes. We're very green. As I've said many times before, I could speak at length of what I don't know about agriculture. Although I have gotten to know quite a few, anybody else? Okay. I'm talked to a one of the first people that I was introduced to when I started campaigning was a farmer over by Clearbrook. In fact, he has some great big silos right next to the Clearbrook School. And walked into his shed, and my first thought was, man, this would be a great spot for an indoor football practice. Because I was very impressed with the size of it. And then I walked up to the new combine, and I hadn't walked up to a new combine probably in quite a few years. And to say that it's about three times my height is not an exaggeration. And so I was talking to him and later on in the year, and he said that he can load up or harvest a semi-load of soybeans or corn every half hour. And I was just astounded by that. And I was actually going to try to find some video of one of those machines in action. And I've had the corn growers and the soybean growers over here, and I talked about this, about how that just, you know, astounds me that this is possible. And they said, well, gosh, they have an extra seat up in those cabs. We'd be happy to get you up there and show you how it works and stuff. And I'm going, you know what? I really don't need my Michael Dukakis moment right now of driving around in a combine and going like this and getting my picture taken. I said, I just honestly don't need that. And but I'm going to find some time to go out there and actually watch him in action this fall. The thought of every half hour he has to dump a semi-load into one of those farm dumpers and that guy now has to get to a semi and unload to get back to him before he's filled up again to get back to the next semi. And he said he has four or five semis loading as he's doing this. And depending on the length of how far they have to travel, they said they unload their semi in 6 minutes, and it's augured up into those grain bins. And that, to me, has to be one of the most astoundingly well-choreographed thing I just haven't experienced anything like it. And so that's kind of where I'm at. My district has 3,300 square miles. I think that number is a little bit on the low side. I'll start in Beltrami County. This is basically the stuff that Jay had, 6,846 harvested acres. Most of that is in the western part of Beltrami County and up in the Black Duck to Callier area. A lot of corn and wheat and soybeans. If you would have told me 30 years ago that my district in Roseau County and Lake of the Woods County would be corn and soybean country, I would not have believed you. That just was a totally the genetic brands that they had, plus the longer growing season that we're experiencing, has turned those into very productive crops up in our area. I know the farmers up in Lake of the Woods County, you can't wipe the smiles off their faces, because last year they had such a perfect growing season. I believe the people in Clearwater County had the same thing. The rain came at the right time. The rain came at the right amounts. They got their crop in quickly, efficiently, and they got their crop off very quickly and efficiently with a really good price. The one farmer I was talking about in Clearwater County did not even have to dry the grain. Just went right off the field, right into the bins. Just had a marvelous crop. I'm hoping the snow that we get, and it's piling up pretty good up north, to take care of the drought situations. There's an awful lot of beef cattle up there also. We don't have, as far as I know, there's no dairy operation in my district. We are just too far away from the people that use that product. The smaller dairies and stuff have been gone on all the wayside. I think we've had a dairy farm in Lake of the Woods County for probably 20 years. Moving on to Clearwater County, 16,000 acres. The northern half of Clearwater County is very, very good agricultural area. again, corn, wheat, soybeans. We're getting into some orchards and vegetables. Hubbard County, they have 12,000 acres, and that is mostly probably not in my district. That would be on the southern townships around Park Rapids and west of Park Rapids. It's pretty, getting out into pretty good farm country again. Most of Hubbard County is a lot of hills and up and down and around and lake country and rivers and stuff. There is some beef in that area. Going to the last page, Lake of the Woods County. Notice the three people per square mile. We're fairly small population-wise. There are some farms there that do very well. Average age, I think, is they're starting to transition to the next generation of late 20s to early 40s age groups. One concern that I have is that we're 87% wetlands, and MNTAC came in and purchased a section of land, and they're going to turn it into wetlands just because they have to have that acre for acre stuff. And when our whole county is designated as wetlands, and one of the great concerns that I have, and this what Jay mentioned, a few things that were of concern, you can take 160 acres, you know, a square mile, and it's all wetlands, according to the Department of Agriculture or the whatever they do those charts. And so if some mining operation or somebody needs wetland credits, they can buy up that 160, close off the ditches, turn it into a marshy, wet area, and fulfill the obligations of that. And they get more credit, and I don't know why, not for taking out marginal land, not for taking out land that could possibly hold water back from a flood situation, but good, productive farmland. And then just take it and turn it into a marshy, wetlands area. And that really concerns me, because you know, we're far enough away from everybody. With 4,000 people, we have little political clout, except for myself, of course. But, anyway, I don't know how much pull I would have for that. That is a great concern for me, and we actually happen to be in the same watershed as that MNTAC operation, and there are two other mining companies that have come into my office and talked to me, you know, and they're going to be. They were talking about when they get ramped up in production, 40,000 to 80,000 tons of rock they're going to take out every day for conceivably 100 years. And I don't know, that probably is going to take an awful lot of wetlands to make up for the rock that they can't put back down in the ground. And so, in 20 or 30 years from now, I'm wondering where the farmland is going to be that is going to feed the people of this world by then. Another concern is that in California, I just read about it, they go into solar energy, but they're finding out that, you know, we think, oh yeah, California, stick them out in the desert. Well, can't do that because they have environmental impact things, you know, the tortoises or whatever out there that are going to be impacted by these solar panels. And so what they're doing is they're taking San Joaquin farmland and putting solar panels on it because they don't have to do the environment regulations with that. And that's, I don't know, that's a concern to me as far as that goes. But anyway, I'll stand for questions if anybody...
I believe Representative Dill has a question.
Oh, no.
I really don't have a question. I wanted to thank Representative Erickson for bringing up MNTAC. For those who didn't catch MNTAC, that's United States Steel. That's located in Mountain Iron, Minnesota. And we have, and I say we, 3A, which I represent, Cushing Lake, Cook, and St. Louis, we have greater than 80% of the wetlands where we're located as well. And just in recent legislation, we made Zone 1 and Zone 2 into essentially Zone 1 and made it the fair picking, because we don't have places in our district, in, not reasonable places to replace wetlands within those counties. And some of those counties are in a different watershed than Representative Erickson. They're in the Lake Superior watershed rather than the, think of it as the Lake of the Woods or the Winnipeg or the Hudson Bay watershed. So that was a real good move for the mines, because let me tell you that in the next couple of decades, get your arms around this, the mines are going to need to replace 20,000 acres of wetlands to continue the kind of, to just continue taconite mining alone, where your washing machine and your car and your toaster and those things come from. This is a huge problem, and I do not, I am going to be working on to help Representative Erickson and this state, because we are buying, it's absolutely true that the mines are going out and offering money to buy farmland as cheaply as possible, so they try to get marginal farmland. But essentially they may have to, and they may already have bought farmland that's good production farmland where they can replace a wetland that they need to do mining over in the eastern part of the northern part of the state, in the legislative district that I represent. Now, it's just a perplexing problem to me that we spend hundreds of millions of dollars over time on flood mitigation. Representative Poppy down in your district, and over in Representative Eakin's district, in Representative Fabian's district, Representative Keel's district, hundreds of millions of dollars, but yet we can't take a wetland that we might be able to use for a buffer for flooding and put it over in that watershed. Now, so what I've actually been talking about, which will help this situation, I think, if we ever can get to it, is that in a, under a permit to mine, right now it's 1-to-1 within the upper watershed where Representative Erickson and I are represent. But I want to make it 2-to-1. So does this person.
Tell me to stop.
Rishad, did you just text him?
Someone's got to keep you guys.
Don't do that.
So I would like to make it at least 2-to-1. But the 1-to-1 is when the mitigation occurs because of the mining. And we do it in these other areas, and I'm just suggesting maybe Representative Keel, Representative Poppy, Representative Eakin, Representative Stump, those people up in that area, Representative Marquardt. And then at the end of the permit to mine, when they do the reclamation to mine, they put the wetland back a second time. So then we had the benefit of having the wetland in the area where we needed it, reduce the potential, at least, to invest state bonding dollars. By what amount, I don't know. But it surely has some impact on it. And then at the end of the life cycle of the mine, and reclamation is an ongoing thing. I mean, we're reclaiming right now as we speak. They're reclaiming. And it's all done under a permit to mine that begins on when the mine is approved, that they replace it back in its original watershed. Now, I mean, I'm sure this is a debatable thing, but we want to. We are really not doing the right thing, in my estimation. And Representative Erickson, I think you hit it right on the head. Is that the mines, because they have to mine to expand and be a critical industry in the state. I mean, mining in the state isn't just an issue of jobs in the state. That's the wrong message. Mining is about the benefit. It's the benefit that in World War II, all of the steel that came from the northeastern part of the state built the ships that defended this country and the tanks that defended this country, and it still does it on every day of the year, every minute of the year. And that we just got to do this better. And so I'm really glad that you brought this and how critical it is in your area that this is happening to you, and I thank you for that.
Other questions? Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I wasn't aware of this situation. So when there's a 1-to-1 credit, when the mining company has to do the credit thing, and then they come back 20, 30 years down the road to reclaim the mined area, does the original reclaimed wetland stay as a wetland, or can that go back to whatever it was before. Are these credits permanent, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Representative Dill.
Well, I believe that the wetlands that are built, for example, in Lake of the Woods County, and Representative Erickson is speaking of, they remain. Yeah, they remain. That is a perpetual remediation, wetland replacement. And what I'm saying is that we should not only do it once, but we should do it twice. But the twice is in the decades to come when the mine is closed. Or, and not the mine is closed. You have to think of a mine as an ongoing living thing, but as an area is reclaimed, because they just don't dig a hole that's 100 miles long and then go back at 35 years and fill it in and make something out of it. I mean, they go back incrementally and reclaim the mine.
And one other thing, too, is in this one, or this mile section, there's a ditch that runs right through it. Well, stopping the ditch doesn't really work because there's people upstream of the ditch that count on it. So in this one, in the 640, this 1 square mile, the Corps of Engineers is going to give them a credit for 460 acres in exchange, you know, of the 640. They can use that. The Lake of the Woods County people are saying, no, it's more like 200 acres. So we're going to take 600 acres out of production, and maybe they'll get credit for somewhere between 2 and 460 or whatever the Corps comes up with. So, you know, and like I said, if they need, how much, 16,000?
20,000.
20,000, well,
in the next few decades.
The total harvested acres in my county is 16,000. do the math. You know, they're going to get those credits somewhere. You know, Lake of the Woods County seems to be the target right now. But it's an issue of concern for me. So, and I don't know. I was speaking to the person from Lake of the Woods County yesterday about this topic to get some information, and there's an awful lot we don't know, but this is the issue right now. So,
thank you, Madam Chair. Going to what Representative Dill said, so am I understanding correctly that the law currently states that that replacement has to take place within the same watershed? Is that some of the issue that we're having?
Representative Dill.
Thank you. I wish that Mr. Pagel were here. He could really give us the finite details, or John Jasky, Mr. Jasky from Bowser. But a couple of years ago, the 1 and 2 watershed for the purpose of mining, 1 would be the eastern part, the area that I represent, and 2 was the area that Representative Erickson represented, were considered the same. They're different. The goal originally was to keep the wetland mitigation in the same watershed. Mm-hmm. But the problem occurred that how do you do it if you already have over 80% wetlands and you need this lots of volume of wetlands? So we had to expand. So for the purposes of under a permit to mine, you had establishment of new wetlands for remediation purposes, and they moved the lines over essentially to make 1 and 2 the same as 1. That's the way I understand it. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it just seems like you're stuck then with a very finite amount of land that's eligible to be used in the exchange program. And
most of my county is state land,
right?
Federal land, school trust land, but there is that, and then Cooch County's got some farmland that's just south of the Rainy River there on the northern part of their counties. I don't think there's probably not 10,000 acres there total. And then you come to our county, and the way the flow of the water is, once you get past that Superior flow, then everything flows through the boundary waters, through the Rainy Lake, down Rainy River, to all the areas that flow into that part of my county there. And sometimes money is going to talk, and you know, they have to pay $2,000. They paid, I think, $1,200 an acre, which is not exorbitant, but you know, could they pay $5,000 an acre? Probably. $10,000 an acre? If they have to. And then my county becomes, well, we just extend the bog from 20 miles north of Washkish to right to the Canadian border. I don't think that's a pretty picture for my county.
Representative Dill.
But back to the ag part of this is that he put it perfectly, is they got 16,000 acres in farm land, and if you start consuming these acres at a significant ratio, pretty soon you turn a county that isn't, or a group of counties from having an ag component to not having an ag component. And he talked about the fact that the dairy disappeared, and they're still grazing and farm operations with cattle, and pretty soon they don't really do that well in wetlands for grazing, and it's a real problem. I wanted to just say, when you talk about the watersheds, you know, you have the Lake Superior. There's a thing up there called the Laurentian Divide. It's a continental divide, and when the rain falls, if it falls on one side, it goes to the Hudson Bay. If it falls on the other side, it goes into Lake Superior through a variety of different rivers. And Prairie River, for example, or all of the rivers that you cross when you go up the North Shore, those all come off of the Laurentian Divide. And the iron formation where these wetlands are being consumed are along that Laurentian Divide, because that's where the mining is. And those counties are all 80% or greater counties, just as is Representative Erickson's county. So this is an agricultural issue, but a kind of a different twist, because the impacts in one area are going to become, if haven't already. I can tell you that there's Lake of the Woods commissioners that are incensed about this. And if I ran in Lake of the Woods County, if I would have got redistricting, I would have been down here preaching the same thing that you are, except I'd have been doing the whole thing then, because this is really a burning issue, and it's going to affect ag.
Representative Guineas.
Thank you. Madam Chair, it's a great discussion. I think maybe one of the things, if this is going to be a topic here, that we might want to bring in some folks that are talk about the hydrology, because in our ag communities we have changed the hydrology, and what does that mean? And for this area in particular, we should talk about the changing climate and what it means. We can hear the changing climate making corn and soybeans viable. It also is going to have a lot to do with the water up there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the answer is. I have no idea. But I do know it's going to have a huge impact. So maybe that is something that, if we are going to get in deeply into this issue, we should have a broad understanding and not just look at, you know, this farmland for that farmland.
Sure.
A comment?
Sure, Representative Erickson.
What she's saying is, we don't have, as far as I know, I have not heard anybody talking about it, groundwater issues. Our groundwater is fine. They talk about the stuff we're pumping out to go to our town and our schools has been down there, I've heard, a million years. So we don't have issues with groundwater, you know, like lack of or whatever. But so we don't need wetlands to
it's moving. It's where the water moves.
Right. Yeah. But,
Representative Hamilton.
Well, thank you, and thank you for this information as well. And what we all need to remember is, in 37 years, we have to double our food output. Then 37 years. And, you know, if we continue to take away the farmland, or if we continue to pass laws that hinder our ability to embrace high-yielding agriculture, we're going to have to suffer one of two fates: either plow up critical habitat or allow even more people in the world to starve to death. I mean, that's a fact. And so thank you for bringing this forward. Appreciate it.
I didn't really want to be the kind of a downer type of message at the end of this. I was kind of hoping to keep it. But this is an issue that is a concern, and I know the county commissioners are concerned with it.
All right. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. As long as we have some time to discuss this, I'm just curious. You talked about this 640-acre section of land, yeah, that the Army Corps was going to give about 400 acres of credit, but a county commissioner would only allow 200. Why wouldn't they want as many acres as possible to be allowed as credit so you wouldn't have to take more acres someplace else?
Representative Erickson.
Excuse me. I'm getting a little out of sequence here. Thank you. I believe it's the LIDAR. Mm-hmm. The county did this LIDAR thing. And please understand, we're a flatland county. I mean, you can drive that bog north of Washkish, and there's one turn that you have to make to line up the roads, and you don't go up or down 10 feet the whole time, and you don't deviate left or right, I mean, hardly enough to change your steering. And we're flatland county. And so a lot of our good soil is being tiled. You know, kind of odd to think of that, but we're getting tiled. Rainy River, we don't pray for rain up there because our experience is that once it starts raining in Lake of the Woods County, it doesn't quit. And so we take whatever we get and hope we don't get too much. But it's because of the contours, the half inch or the half foot to 2 foot contours, there's really no way to bank up the water enough behind it to actually call it the wetlands. Now that's the information that I got from the person from the county that I was talking to that had the best information on this. I can get more information, I can bring it back here, but quite frankly I don't have enough time right now to meet with the county commissioners again and just talk about this subject. So, but it's again, it's something that Representative Dill is well aware of. I talked to Joe Radinovich, and he's got an area of northern Aiken County that's in much the same situation. There's MinTac is trying to, there's another square mile that they want to turn into wetlands, and so it's, you know, it's just not affecting my county alone, but. My county seems to have 16,000 probably reasonably priced in the grand scheme of things. It's not Red River Valley tops, you know, bottomland kind of soil, but it's good productive farmland. So, but that's the way I get it is the Corps of Engineers has given them this. The county doesn't think it's, and so they'll have a discussion about that and find out. Of that 600, but doesn't matter one way or another. You're taking 600 and some acres out of production, and whether you get 300 acres of credit or 400 acres of credit, if they need 20,000 acres, you know, that just if they can only get half credit, then they're going to have to buy 40,000 acres, and that's an even more worrisome, more worrisome thing.
Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick observation. Representative Erickson, you were going to spend 2 minutes on numbers. But I want to call out and thank the Madam Chair for this opportunity because you said that you could talk more about what you don't know about agriculture, but you know your district very well, and I tip your hat to this story behind the numbers because that has taught me personally much more than if I had just read your sheet. So I want to thank you for that. I mean, this conversation is fantastic. So.
Thank you, and thank you, Representative Erickson. I do have a question. We all have a map. Hopefully, even the newest member has the map. So to see, you have a very long district. Can you tell me where you live in that district?
Point your finger north.
As far north as?
Yeah, not the angle.
Not the angle, but
not
up there.
But, yeah, I'm right on the border. I live right on the end of the airport in Bedette. By the way, it's a fairly busy airport because we have people that stop by to check through customs when they go north to their vacations. Sure. There's we get seaplanes that come in on the Rainy River that check through customs, and so it's fairly. My wife is real annoyed with when it's farm time to spray because those crop dusters are just loaded down and just grinding away to get up above the trees, and we have our window open, and about 5:30 in the morning, that roar comes over, and it annoys my wife. I just go back to sleep. But and I live right on the border, Bidette. Willie Walleye, if you drive by there, everybody takes a picture. You stop and take the picture, and it's right by the international border. So
if you were to drive from your district, I'm assuming then you are flying back and forth during the legislative session, or are you driving? What would be the drive time for you to come?
It takes me 2.5 hours to get to the south end of my district, and then 3 hours from there.
Okay. I have a car like that in school.
I have to buy it. I'm driving my pickup, and I'm just wearing it out, and I need that to pull my boat around, so I'm going to have to find a more fuel efficient. I'm going to get greener. I'm going to have to burn only 25 gallons of gas a week instead of 50. So.
And I have one other question. So what is the relationship, obviously, you're on the border with Canada as far as you and how, when you, can you do all of your shopping in the United States? Do you go to Canada? How about?
They come.
How does that work?
They come to Bidette. Their gas prices are, I think, about $1 a gallon higher than ours. We used to have a nice exchange rate with them. A dollar of ours would buy $1.10 or $1.15. Now it's fairly close. They come to our grocery store, and I have the only grocery store in the county, and so you have to drive almost 40 miles to find some kind of competition. So the grocery prices are, you just deal with it type of thing. But when it's 5 below here, it's 30 below there. So don't talk to me about it's cold out here. I'll tell you, we always used to have foreign exchange students would come in, and then they'd oftentimes come out for football. And of course, me being the offensive coach, the first thing you did is, can you kick a field goal? You must be a soccer player. Can you kick a field goal? And so we'd get to know some of them. They'd come out and play and meet the people and be part of the group and stuff. Weren't worth spit as a football player, but they'd come out and practice in October, and they'd, oh, it's cold out. It's cold. You know, it's 40 degrees. And it's like, not cold. I'll let you know when it's cold. So.
All right. Any other questions? Yes, Representative Anderson.
This is really interesting, Madam Chair. Could you talk about your medical facilities, and do you have Canadian folks coming down to Bidette for any of their medical needs?
We actually have a hospital. And it's, you know, like when laws are passed down here, you know, they come back up there. But we have there are 3 or 4 doctors that are there. Of course, we serve such a huge area, you know. 20 miles going west, they would more than likely go to Roseau instead. But 20 miles south, they're all coming to Bidette. East, it's either International Falls or us. The Canadians have a clinic over there, I believe, and they do most of their hospital about 50 miles away in Fort Frances. But we have a very viable clinic and ongoing things. We've recently upgraded from Oxcart to a better way of getting mail up there. So we actually have internet too. So it's we're aware of those things. We had that funding program that came out about 20 years ago. So we have a new school. The problem is that we built it about a mile too far from town, and so there's issues with kids in the summer getting back and forth. Nice facility. Nice place to visit.
Thank you. I think you have sold us on your district. We will probably have many of us who will travel north to see where you reside. And
I have a vote.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your presentation. And we will, for everyone else, you know, we have, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. We appreciate that you took the extra time and that you were willing to be grilled for a while about your district. But thank you for doing that, Representative Erickson. Just a couple of things. Tomorrow we have FFA Day at the Capitol. And so we'll have a couple of presentations by FFA presenters, but we will also have a couple of presentations from our members. So we have... Tomorrow is your day. So we will have Representative Fitzsimmons and Representative Hamilton. Representative Fitzsimmons.
Yeah, I was just going to say my presentation is going to include some food, so come hungry. I'll have.
Very good.
I had to one-up Representative Hamilton, so.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hamilton.
I accept the challenge. Sounds like pork chops. Yeah.
I'd have brought walleye, but I would have had to violate the game law.
So. And
not that we call them laws. We sometimes call them guidelines. Up
there. I thought they were suggestions.
That,
so
that didn't get on record.
Perhaps it did, Representative Erickson. But so we have that tomorrow. But tonight we also have something for everyone just to be reminded. We have the Minnesota Corn Growers have their legislative reception from 5 to 8 at the Crown Plaza downtown St. Paul. So just be reminded of that. And with nothing further to do in the committee today.
Madam
yes,
Chair.
Yes, Representative Fitzsimmons.
I also I have a guest with me, a student at St. Michael Albertville, Tate Irving. He was recommended by the principal in a school of almost 2,000 students. And just in case he didn't get his fill of, or he thought he had a break from teachers today, Representative Erickson helped fill that void. So just want to thank Tate for coming.
Absolutely. Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. So enjoy the rest of your morning, and meeting adjourned.